Afternoon, welcome to your coronavirus update from the Recording Library of West Texas for Friday, December 4th, 2020. I'm Michael. Coming up in the next few minutes, we'll be reading articles that include U.S. sets new record for COVID-19 hospitalizations. Here's where the stimulus talks stand on Capitol Hill. Vaccine makers insist they didn't cut corners in speedy development of coronavirus shot. Couple who participated in vaccine trial has a message for anyone hesitant to get one. Doctors are calling it quits under the stress of the pandemic. And send joy during a stressful year with a holiday card. First, we'll check the numbers. From the Odessa American, Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 9,466. Ector County negative, 33,770 out of 43,897 tested, with 661 pending, 151 deaths. Recovered, 7,820. Active, 1,495. ECISD daily cases, 6 students, 10 staff. Midland County, as of Monday, 7,654 confirmed, 145 deaths. From the Texas Tribune, average new cases decreased by 1,977 cases compared with the 7-day average in Texas a week ago. On December 3rd, 13,857 new cases in Texas were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 445 patients in Texas compared to a week ago. As of December 3rd, 9,151 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths decreased in Texas by 28 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On December 3rd, 244 new deaths were reported. Now let's take a look at coronavirus briefs. Nearly 213,000 new coronavirus cases were reported across the United States on Thursday, the highest figure yet, and at least 2,500 COVID-19 deaths were reported for the third consecutive day, making the deadliest stretch since the pandemic began. COVID-19 is the leading cause of death in the U.S. this week, Health Institute reports. But the government's top infectious disease expert said the record-setting surge doesn't fully account for the expected increases after Americans traveled and gathered for Thanksgiving. We have not yet seen the post-Thanksgiving peak, Anthony S. Fauci said Friday. That's the concerning thing because the numbers in and of themselves are alarming. Experts say these coming months will be a worst-case scenario in the U.S. before we reach the light at the end of the tunnel. President-elect Joe Biden told CNN that he will ask all Americans to wear masks for 100 days after he is inaugurated. Shutdowns or lockdowns are not really on the table, Biden-Harris transition team official says. Fauci will serve as the chief medical advisor for the Biden administration's coronavirus response while continuing in his role as the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The U.S. economy added 245,000 jobs in November, the slowest month of growth since the recovery began. It was 224,000 fewer than economists had expected, and as the job recovery continues to slow. The unemployment rate inched down to 6.7%, from 6.9% in October. In Washington, momentum is building around a proposed $908 billion relief deal that would be a compromise for both Democrats and Republicans. More on that in a moment. Most of California is days away from new stay-at-home orders, according to Governor Gavin Newsom. Moderna to have up to 125 million doses of its coronavirus vaccine available globally in early 2021. If everyone wears a mask for 100 days, U.S. deaths could be decreased by about 66,000, expert says. The number of Americans who plan to get immunized against the coronavirus has grown to 60%, according to a new Pew study. The United States has reported more than 14.1 million infections and 275,000 deaths since February, according to data tracked by the Washington Post. Now, here are some short articles. U.S. sets new record for COVID-19 hospitalizations, from CNN's Haley Brink. The United States set a record for the number of people currently hospitalized with COVID-19 on Thursday, according to the COVID Tracking Project, CTP. On Thursday, 100,667 people were hospitalized with COVID-19, according to CTP. This is the second consecutive day that the U.S. has surpassed 100,000 current hospitalizations. According to CTP data, the highest hospitalization numbers insofar as dates of the record set go as follows. December 3rd is the current record, which would be yesterday. The next record, the second highest, is December 2nd. The third highest is December 1st. The fourth highest, November 30th. And then the fifth highest, November 29th, which means for the last 5 days, each day we've set a new record in terms of those hospitalized with COVID-19. Here's where stimulus talks stand on Capitol Hill, from CNN's Lauren Fox. What a difference a week makes. On Monday, it looked like nothing was going to happen on stimulus. Now, it's possible a deal is brokered in a matter of days. It's crunch time. If a bipartisan group of lawmakers is actually going to unlock a stimulus agreement and present it in writing by Monday, there's a lot of work left to do. Here's what's happening now. Aides familiar with the process tell CNN that members are working around the clock and have broken into teams to hammer out specific sections of the bill. Democratic Senator Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois and Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas are quietly working on a compromise for the liability insurance section. Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney and Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia are working on a formula that could work for state and local governments, including possibly setting a cap at how much any one state could receive. The intention would be to block large states from getting as much money as they might have gotten in the last round based on the old formula. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has made it clear, according to multiple aides involved, that he'd like to see a proposal Monday. That's what Manchin has said publicly, too. So, what's actually in the plan? The proposal includes $300 a week in enhanced federal unemployment benefits. There is still a debate about how retroactive this could be. A continued pause on student loan payments. Eviction moratorium. Another round of money for the Paycheck Protection Program. $16 billion for vaccine development and distribution and COVID-19 testing and tracing. Extension of unemployment programs that allowed gig workers to file for unemployment insurance. And extension of the program that allows unemployed Americans to get 39 weeks instead of 26. Vaccine makers insist they didn't cut corners in speedy development of coronavirus shot, from CNN's Shelby Lynn Erdman. The makers of the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines insist they did not cut corners in the development of the shots, which normally takes years. The quality standard we held ourselves to was 30,000-person placebo-controlled trial, Moderna President Stephen Hoge said in an NBC interview that aired Thursday night. That really is the gold standard. We still met that bar, even though we've moved quickly. He said that taking out some of the business and financial caution that normally slows down development of drugs helped speed up the process in developing a COVID-19 vaccine. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla agreed no corners were cut in speeding up the development process. He cited the 30,000-person clinical trial as the gold standard, too. That happens exactly as would happen with any other vaccine, he told host Lester Holt. Both Pfizer and Moderna have applied for emergency use authorization for their vaccines from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Pfizer's will be considered December 10th and Moderna's December 17th. Johnson & Johnson has a coronavirus vaccine that is still in a phase 3 clinical trial, but company CEO Alex Gorksy said the development process is the same as it would be for any other vaccine. Couple who participated in vaccine trial has a message for anyone hesitant to get one. From CNN's Adrian Vogt. Karen and Steve Coma, a North Carolina couple, said it was public service and doing our part that compelled them to volunteer in the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine trial. We both, my mother, Steve's parents, have people that are at an at-risk age or state and felt it was important for us to help expedite this, Karen said. Her mother, who has dementia and is in a long-term care facility, just tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. It just made me realize how important this is for so many, Karen said. Because we have so many elders in long-term care facilities and nursing facilities across the country. Her mother does not have any symptoms and is doing fine, Karen said. While they do not know if they received the actual vaccine or if they received a placebo, they have a guess. Steve said he had some mild muscle ache and tiredness, while Karen and their daughter, who also participated in the trial, did not experience any side effects. It would not prevent me from going to work, really just sort of mild symptoms, he said. Their message for anyone wary about taking a vaccine? Overcome that hesitation and get vaccinated. Break the cycle, Steve said. And now here are a couple of longer articles. This from the New York Times. Doctors are calling it quits. Under stress of the pandemic, thousands of medical practices are closing as doctors and nurses decide to retire early or shift to less intense jobs, by Reed Abelson, published November 15th. 2 years ago, Dr. Kelly McGregory opened her own pediatric practice just outside Minneapolis, where she could spend as much time as she wanted with patients and parents could get all of their questions answered. But just as her practice was beginning to thrive, the coronavirus hit the United States and began spreading across the country. As an independent practice with no real connection to a big health system, it was awful, Dr. McGregory said. At one point, she had only 3 surgical masks left and worried that she could no longer safely treat patients. Families were also staying away, concerned about catching the virus. I did some telemedicine, but it wasn't enough volume to really replace what I was doing in the clinic, she said. After her husband found a new job in a different state, Dr. McGregory, 49, made the difficult decision to close her practice in August. It was devastating, she said. That was my baby. Many other doctors are also calling it quits. Thousands of medical practices have closed during the pandemic, according to a July survey of 3,500 doctors by the Physicians Foundation, a nonprofit group. About 8% of doctors reported closing their offices in recent months, which the foundation estimated could equal some 16,000 practices. Another 4% said they planned to shutter within the next year. Other doctors and nurses are retiring early or leaving their jobs. Some worry about their own health because of age or a medical condition that puts them at high risk. Others stopped practicing during the worst of the outbreaks and said they don't have the energy to start again. Some simply need to take a break from the toll that the pandemic has taken among their ranks and their patients. Another analysis from the Larry A. Green Center with the Primary Care Collaborative, a nonprofit group, found similar patterns. Nearly a fifth of primary care clinicians surveyed in September say someone in their practice plans to retire early or has already retired because of COVID-19, and 15% say someone has left or plans to leave the practice. The clinicians also painted a grim picture of their lives as the pandemic enters a newly robust phase with record case counts in the United States. About half already said their mental exhaustion was at an all-time high. Many worried about keeping their doors open. About 7% said they were not sure they could remain open past December without financial help. For some, family obligations left them no choice. Honestly, if it hadn't been for the pandemic, I would have still been working because it was not my plan to retire at that point, said Dr. Joan Benka, 65, who worked as an anesthesiologist in Madison, Wisconsin. But her daughter and son-in-law hold administrative positions in a hospital intensive care unit, treating the sickest COVID patients, and they have two small children. When cases started climbing in the spring, their daycare center closed, and Dr. Benka's daughter desperately needed someone she trusted to look after the children. It wasn't the way I wanted to end my career, Dr. Benka said. I think for most of us, we would say you would fall on your sword for your family, but not for your job, she said, adding that she knows other female colleagues who have stayed home to care for children or older relatives. Dr. Michael Peck, 66, an anesthesiologist in Rockville, Maryland, decided to leave after working in April in the hospital's intensive care unit, intubating critically ill patients and worrying about his own health. When the day was over, I just said, I think I'm done. I want to live my life, and I don't want to get ill, said Dr. Peck, who had already been cutting back his hours. He is now spending a few hours a day as the chief medical officer for a startup. Still, most practices have proved resilient. The Paycheck Protection Program, authorized by Congress to help businesses, including medical practices, with the economic fallout of the pandemic, helped many doctors remain afloat. That money kind of made me solid, said Dr. Ripley Hollister, a family physician in Colorado Springs who serves as chairman of the research committee for the Physicians Foundation. The volume now is really coming back, he said. But depending on the future course of the pandemic, Dr. Lisa Bielamowitz, a co-founder of Just Healthcare, a consulting firm, predicts another wave of financial stress hitting practices. Many doctors' groups will seek a buyer, whether a hospital, an insurance company, or a private equity firm that plans to roll up practices into larger business. One doctor who asked not to be identified because the discussions are confidential said she and her partner had already been talking with the nearby hospital about buying their pediatric practice before the pandemic arrived in the United States. Although federal aid has helped, patient visits are still 15% below normal, she said. And they are continually worried about making payroll and having enough doctors and staff to see patients. As the number of virus cases balloons in the Midwest, her employees must deal with increasingly agitated patients. They're yelling and cussing at my staff, she said. Working for a telemedicine firm might be an alternative, she added. It's a hard job to begin with, to own your own business, she said. The coronavirus crisis has amplified problems that doctors were already facing, whether they own their practice or are employed. A lot of physicians were hanging on by a thread from burnout before the pandemic even started, said Dr. Susan R. Bailey, the president of the American Medical Association. In particular, smaller practices continue to have difficulty finding sufficient personal protective equipment, like gloves and masks. The big hospitals and healthcare systems have pretty well-established systems of PPE, she said, but smaller outfits might not have a reliable source. I was literally on eBay looking for masks, she said. The cost of these supplies has also become a significant financial issue for some practices. Doctors are also stressed by the never-ending need to keep safe. There is a hunker-down mentality now, Dr. Bailey said. She is concerned that some doctors will develop PTSD from the chronic stress of caring for patients during the pandemic. Even those who are not responsible for running their own practices are leaving. Courtney Berry, 40, a family nurse practitioner at a rural health clinic in Soledad, California, watched the cases of coronavirus finally ebb in her area, only to see wildfires break out. Many of her patients are farm workers and work outside, and they became ill from the smoke. In 14 years as a nurse, Ms. Berry has never experienced anything like this that is just such a high level of stress and just keeps going, she said, adding, the other hard part is there's no end in sight. She tried working fewer days, but decided eventually that she would stop altogether for several months, beginning in early December. Ms. Berry hasn't figured out what's next for her. My intention is to stay in medicine, although I would not be totally opposed with doing something in a totally different area, which is something that I would have not said in the past, she said. And patients have indeed felt the effects. The pandemic has developed into a really huge disruption, said Dr. Hollister, the family physician, who thinks closed practices are likely to result in a significant impairment to patients' access to medical care. In his community, where both specialists and primary care doctors are leaving, he is tending to more patients who no longer have a doctor. It is an issue that Dr. McGregory, who took a job at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health in Madison, worries about. There were some families in her practice whom she could not convince to find another pediatrician immediately. She said, they are waiting, which I discouraged because I think every child should have a medical home. And now for our final story, this also from the New York Times. Send joy during a stressful year with a holiday card. You can still connect with loved ones near and far with a holiday card, and referencing the pandemic is okay. Just be mindful of your tone. By Sarah Fairshine, published November 13th, updated November 16th. It was only October, and an unseasonably hot and sunny day to boot, but the Ravone Statton's front steps in Grapevine, Texas, brimmed with Christmassy props. For her family's holiday card photo shoot, there were poinsettias and wreaths, tinsel and tartan, an oversized ornament emblazoned with the letter S, a plate of cookies for Santa, and a sign reminding him to please stay outside. Santa can't come in the house because of COVID, joked Ms. Statton, 41, a project engineer, adding, I want people to have a bright spot by looking at our picture and thinking, oh, that's cute, that's nice, you know, it looks like things might be okay. At the end of a year marked by distance and disconnection, Ms. Statton will send holiday cards for the first time ever, and she is not alone. Paperless Post, an online card and invitation company, found in a recent survey that 60% of users plan on sending holiday cards this year, compared with the 38% of respondents who sent them last year. The craft site Etsy has had a 23% increase in searches for holiday cards in the last 3 months, compared with last year. Of the 2,000 Americans surveyed in September by Minted.com, a home decor and stationery company, nearly three-quarters agreed that holiday cards have more sentimental value this year than in previous years. Understand the realities of the situation. Many cards of holidays past paired sun-dappled vacation collages or magazine-worthy images of grinning children with pleasant messages about joy. But after a year marked more by worry and stress than merriness, and with the pandemic and its economic toll raging on, Some card senders, stationery companies, and portrait photographers are taking another approach. Out with the honeyed sentiments, in with masks and other depictions of the realities of this era. We should send holiday cards as a way to connect with people, said Elaine Swan, a lifestyle and etiquette expert. And I believe we can reference the pandemic in this medium because everyone has been impacted in some way, and it's important to be upfront about it. For Ms. Staten, that meant purchasing red masks. She hot glued white fuzzy Santa trim on her husband's and enlisting a local photographer to capture her family of five from 10 feet away. Even that style of portraiture is a cultural outcrop of the pandemic. The photographer, Rachna Agrawal, first photographed the Statens for the Front Steps Project, for which photographers around the world captured socially distanced images of families as a way to raise funds for local nonprofits and small businesses. Shruti Garg, a Brooklyn-based photographer who also participated in the Front Steps Project this spring, said she has several clients planning to repurpose those photos, however casual they may be, for holiday cards. You can imagine they're not the best photos, Ms. Garg said, but there's a lot of families that are still going to use them because it is what it is. This year, we were all in our pajamas at home. Be mindful of your tone. One Front Steps client, Mai Nguyen Hugh, rehired Ms. Garg to shoot another set of outdoor family portraits for holiday cards. She and her husband have two daughters, about 4 months old and almost two. I think everyone needs to laugh, said Ms. Nguyen Hugh, 39, who works in the fashion industry and lives in Brooklyn. But we'll probably be careful who we send it out to. We probably won't send it to people who have been affected in a way where this would offend them. As a workaround, Ms. Nguyen Hugh will make a few different cards by mixing and matching photos and copy. In some images, Ms. Nguyen Hugh and her husband wear masks. Some show an ice bucket filled with champagne and Purell. Others, a gift basket brimming with Clorox wipes and toilet paper. She's toying with a few messages, including celebrating at home with the finest bottles of alcohol, and a more sincere one wishing recipients a happy and safe holiday season. She is also considering a super safe version with a traditional portrait and greeting. Maryam Nafisi, Minted's founder and chief executive, said the question of tone has added weight for the independent artists whose card designs are sold on the site. With so many people passing away, we knew there was a line that we could not cross, she said. It's a very subtle thing. We didn't want to be inappropriate because we don't want people to take this lightly. Lizzie Post, an etiquette author and the co-president of the Emily Post Institute, thinks that's a question senders should think about too. I think if you're making light of the pandemic, you risk insulting those who have families and loved ones who've passed away, Ms. Post said. But if you're wearing masks or showing social distancing as a sincere support for those acts, I'm all behind you 100%, and I think etiquette would be behind you too. That will be Ms. Staten's approach. Although she hasn't ordered the cards from Costco yet, she has drafted the following greeting. We've been diligently wearing our masks and staying socially distanced this year, but we miss you so much. Hope this card finds you well and we can exchange big hugs soon. Consider new messaging. Ms. Nafisi, who has seen card designs and messaging rise and fall with external events. For example, the word peace became popular after the 2016 presidential election. Now, she said, other trends are emerging. On the more serious side, hope is a very popular word, as is gratitude, said Ms. Nafixi. Then on the funny side, there are a lot of people who are clearly interested in the humorous take. Our family has been through a lot. I'm sure yours has too. Even seemingly timeless messages, say, best wishes for the new year, have distinctly 2020 vibes, say when paired by the minted artist Gwen Badat with an illustration of CTRL plus N, a keyboard shortcut used to open a new browser window or document. Holiday messages on cards available on Etsy range from Adios 2020 to references to hand washing. One by the designer Tina Seamonster shows a dumpster fire emblazoned with 2020, along with two words above it, "We survived." We're constantly seeing emerging inventory that reflect the zeitgeist, and this year's holiday cards are no exception, said Dana Ism Johnson, Etsy's trend expert. All it took for Kristen Hope's holiday card to materialize was a friend's message on Twitter, depicting an enormous disposable face mask adorning the facade of the Science Museum of Virginia. The museum is about 100 miles south of Ms. Hope's home in Arlington, Virginia. I thought, oh, that would make a great Christmas card, especially because we didn't really do much in terms of family vacations this year, said Ms. Hope, 48, a stay-at-home mother of a 14-year-old and 12-year-old twins. We were bored one Saturday, so we grabbed our selfie stick, jumped in the car, took a photo, got back in the car, and drove home. A former research librarian who diligently keeps her address list up to date, Ms. Hope ordered cards from Minted Holiday Happy Holidays from Our Quarantine to Yours, and plans to send them around Thanksgiving. Her only regret? Leaving the backside blank. I should have put a little asterisk that said, we didn't go inside, we used a selfie stick, we had our masks with us, she said. Like Ms. Hope, Elise Miller has always been a holiday card devotee. She has traditionally tapped a photographer friend to shoot bright, elegantly composed family portraits. By contrast, this year's card, which she purchased through Minted, is a screenshot. We had been Zooming with our family so much, said Ms. Miller, 52, who works at the Conference on World Affairs at the University of Colorado, Boulder. And one day I was looking at the screen and I thought, you know what? We should just take a picture because this would be a great holiday card. Four or five family members, including the Millers' 16-year-old twins, beamed in from separate rooms of their home in Boulder. Their 20-year-old daughter, a junior at Boulder, joined from her off-campus apartment. The photo isn't perfect, but neither was the year, Ms. Hope said. I'm trying to embrace the fact that it's the holidays, and this year will be over. This year will be over, and maybe we'll have the chance to start over. And that is your coronavirus update for this Friday, December 4th, 2020, from the Recording Library of West Texas. And after that last story, it's an appropriate time to mention that following this, we'll be bringing you some Christmas music to fill out the rest of the 1 o'clock hour until we hit 2 o'clock, at which time we'll bring you USA Today with national news. And then at 3 o'clock, local news. Here are some of the articles that our volunteers are reading today from the local papers. From the Midland Reporter Telegram, Peyton addresses vote on mask ordinance. Motran. Budgets redistricting are the top challenges for lawmakers. Agency mulls adding WTI Midland to benchmark. And from the Odessa American this Friday, numbers continue to soar in Odessa. Medical staff committed, but exhaustion is setting in. Starbright Village is open in Odessa. And ECISD to start rapid COVID testing next week. Those are just a few of the articles that you'll hear beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then at 6, we'll bring you the Wall Street Journal. And as that last article mentioned, some people taking the humorous side of things this year, we have a humorous program for you that you can listen to at 7 o'clock called On the Lighter Side, with some very funny authors and writers who are helping to make this year a little more bearable and take our minds off things. So that's at 7 o'clock tonight. In addition to our Christmas music, we, of course, on Fridays have traditionally this year brought to you some kind of a song. And we're going to do that today before we get to the Christmas music. Last week, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we missed a very important birthday. And she was born November 26th, 1939. She is 81 years old, and her birthday was on Thanksgiving. And that is of a person who is known as the Queen of Rock and Roll. Rose to prominence in the 60s, made one of the most incredible comebacks in the 1980s. And I'm talking, of course, about Tina Turner. And I'm going to bring you her 1983 single, Let's Stay Together, that was on her 1984 multi-platinum album, Private Dancer. So Tina Turner to take us out today. Have a great weekend. Be well, and we'll be back Monday.
Let me say the sins, baby, since we've been together, ooh, loving you forever. Is all I need. Let me be the one you come running to. I'll never be untrue. Oh, baby, let's stay together.
This weekend, we kick off 4 weeks of Saturday night movies that are set in the Christmas season. We begin this Saturday with the romantic comedy, While You Were Sleeping.
I'm not working this weekend, Jerry.
Lucy!
Every day I go and I sit in a booth like a veal. I work every holiday. I go home to a cat.
For Lucy, loneliness was a way of life.
Joe Jr.'s still single.
Yeah, it's a shocker.
But the moment she saw Peter, she became a believer in love at first sight.
He was perfect.
Then fate stepped in.
Oh! Miss Marr, there's a train coming!
Oh, God, you smell good.
Now she's part of his life.
He's in a coma.
Oh, I was going to marry him.
Who's she?
She's his fiance. No.
Peter's engaged.
She saved his life.
Part of his family.
Hey, sis. Where's my, Lucy's going to marry my brother Peter.
What? I didn't mean for this to happen. I don't know what to do.
Don't tell them a thing. Since they met you, they figured they have Peter back. They need you, Lucy. Just like you need them.
Come on, everybody.
And the grandmother, they just got this heart thing.
She had 3 attacks already.
Now, you tell them now, and you might as well shoot Grandma.
That's right. You haven't met Jack yet.
Welcome to the family.
Oh, thank you.
It's funny. My brother never mentioned you.
Which one of the Three Stooges was Peter's favorite?
Curly.
Ha! He's everybody's favorite. Fact is, you're not really Peter's type.
All right. Whose type am I?
I like blondes.
You like brunettes.
Can I say, Peter, I was never envious of anything that you had until now.
You have to tell me what to do. I like Jack.
Pull the plug.
You're sick.
I'm sick. You're cheating on a vegetable.
Caravan Pictures presents Sandra Bullock.
These are your husband's things.
Not my husband!
Your fiancé.
Bill Pullman.
She drives you so crazy, you don't know whether to hug her or just arm wrestle her.
Peter Gallagher.
He's awake!
Your family's here, Peter.
In a film about love. At second sight.
Who are you?
While you were sleeping.
Shouldn't have left the booth.
Oh, shouldn't have left the booth.
Shouldn't have left the booth.
The audio described While You Were Sleeping, Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
I'm not afraid to
the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow and snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
The snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Frosty the snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Oh, when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, thump, thump.
Look at that Frosty go. Over the hills of snow. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there, all around the square, saying, catch me if you can.
He led them down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop.
And he only paused a moment when he heard him holler,
stop! Frosty the Snowman was as hard as he could.
Just the same as you and me.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamonds shine down through the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chill and the weather. Love knows no season, love knows no clime. Romance can blossom any old time. Here in the open, we're walking and hoping together. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful
The halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. The blazing Yule before us. Strike the harp and join the chorus. Follow me in merry measure while I tell of Yuletide treasure.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
Now here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 53 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading articles from today's USA Today, Friday, December 4th, 2020. In the money section, under the money line column, three articles. First one, jobless applications fall but remain high.